Peace for all eternity. That is what Donald Trump spoke about when he visited Israel and Egypt last Monday. But within days, dozens of Palestinians were once again killed by Israeli airstrikes, including 11 members of one family. And Israel accused Hamas of killing two of its soldiers. Israel's far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, tweeted the word war. It all emphasises the need to start the next phase of the ceasefire agreement. President Trump's special envoy and son-in-law are both in the region right now, and they're expected to be joined today by Vice President J.D. Vance. We're joined this morning from Jerusalem by Adam Parsons, Middle East correspondent with Sky News. Adam, thanks for joining us once again. How were things overnight and this morning in Gaza?
Yeah, I think at the moment there is an uneasy sense of calm. Last night, the body of a hostage, a deceased hostage, was returned and identified by the Israelis. So we're nearly at the point where half of those deceased hostages have been returned from Gaza to Israel. And that is incredibly symbolically important for the Israelis, who take that measure enormously seriously. As you said, Steve Witkoff is here, the Middle East envoy, so is Jared Kushner, and J.D. Vance, the American vice president, are on their way, is on his way to Israel. So it's a lot of diplomatic heft coming from the Americans. They clearly want this ceasefire to sustain, but it is straining at the edges.
Israel continues to control over half of Gazan territory. During these days, what is it doing? Is it dismantling Hamas infrastructure?
Yeah, that's exactly what it's doing. Well, it's watching. That's one thing it's doing. It's not withdrawing, and it's certainly keeping troops in a state of readiness in case they go back in, as you said. Audrey Bezalel Smotrich, as well as Itamar Ben-Gvir and others, are all pushing for a resumption of attacks. But it is also destroying infrastructure. That is what they say was the flashpoint when the Israelis alleged that Hamas fired a missile at what was effectively an engineering team who were dismantling tunnels and what they describe as terrorist infrastructure. So in a sense, that is fulfilling what is their ambition, which is to dismantle the apparatus of Hamas and to sort of render it no longer viable as what Israel would describe as a terrorist organization. What they're not doing is fighting, but as we've seen, not just here, but in many previous conflicts, a ceasefire doesn't always mean a cessation of fire. What it actually means is a far, far less of it.
Getting to phase two of the previous ceasefire agreement was where it all broke down in March of this year. What is phase two of this specific agreement?
That is an incredibly good and difficult question to answer because no one knows. Phase two is a sort of vague aspiration to get to a point where there is a new governance structure, where humanitarian aid is really flooding into the region, and where rebuilding starts. And none of that, to be honest, is fleshed out at all in any meaningful way. And that's the problem with phase one, is that it's, in fact, that's the problem with this entire ceasefire, is that it's built on the momentum created by Donald Trump's optimism and rhetoric. And there are so many questions that aren't answered about who would be running Gaza, the governance structure, what would be the role for Palestinians, where the money would come for rebuilding, who would be doing the rebuilding, who would secure the peace, what would be the legal structure behind that. I mean, Audrey, I could go on for hours about things that aren't sorted out. It's a much shorter list of things that are.
Even getting an international stabilization force in place as soon as possible, which it's crying out for, they're nowhere near close to achieving that, are they?
No, I mean, the Arab states will probably be leading the way on that, but there are so many holes. So yesterday, you know, once again, Trump was talking about Hamas and how he could envisage them being eliminated and saying, oh, we might have to go in. Well, really? American troops going into Gaza? Very hard to imagine that happening. But even if you have an international stabilization force, a peacekeeping force, military force, you have to have a legal framework for it to operate under. That's going to need a United Nations agreement, you would think. And at the moment, we don't have that. So or even things that you would assume are the most fundamental basic requirements are still absolutely not certain.
There's a lot at stake for Donald Trump in the weeks ahead, isn't there, with his name attached to this whole agreement?
Yeah, and I think that's why his vice president and his Middle East envoy and Jared Kushner, whatever job title we put next to him, are here at the moment, is because it's clear that a couple of days ago when Israel did respond very, very harshly to the attack on and the killing of two of its soldiers, I think the Americans were on the phone quickly saying, you need to stabilize this situation, and talking about proportionality of response, an analysis of response. The last thing the Americans want is for this ceasefire to fall apart, and they've invested so much in it. You know, it's not so many days ago that people were talking about Donald Trump getting, the Nobel Peace Prize for bringing peace to the Middle East. Well, so far, this ceasefire has lasted a little over a week, and in that time, the best part of 100 Palestinians have died. So it is straining at the edges, and the Americans will want it to work. They want it to work for the medium term. They want it to provide some basis for the future and for a cessation of war. And at the moment, you wouldn't be putting a lot of money on it working. However much everybody in this region, a lot of people in this region, want it to work.
Adam, thank you very much. Adam Parsons, Middle East correspondent with Sky News. It's 7:20.